Showtime.
The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
Reaction continues to roll in on the Rich Bisaccia stepping down from his role as special teams coordinator and associate head coach of your Green Bay Packers. Keep getting us your reaction. Let us know what you think. John weighing in saying something doesn't smell right. Is it health related, or does he know that Jacobs might be being released and he doesn't like it, so he's standing up for one of his guys? Man, theories abound out there, huh?
Yeah, well, always tough to like speculate on somebody's health, right? Like, and maybe it is, and maybe we find that out down the line, but again, because the everything's so vague around it, the mind begins to wander.
But what gives you pause is if they knew this was coming, or if it's health reasons, why would you let the other guy go?
Yeah.
Because now you got to fill two spots on special teams, right? Mm-hmm. Why wouldn't you? That's what makes it bizarre. Or why wouldn't you get, if you weren't going to promote him and you knew he was going to leave, then get rid of Bisaccia then. I don't know.
Yeah, it's something just doesn't sit right. Something seems, again, maybe everything is, because, again, as Adam mentioned, he thought about stepping down last year, decided to come back for another year. But then why not step down closer to the end of the season? Why wait 40 days?
DJ in the song weighing in saying, if the players on special teams are struggling, we have to assume it's the quality of the player, not the quality of the coaching. So this is 100% on Goody. LaFleur and Bisaccia have been asked for years to make chicken soup out of chicken you-know-what.
Well, if you dive into the Bill Huber article, too, do you know the last time the Packers were a net positive in special teams?
2004.
Close. 2007. 2007 was the last time the Packers' special teams were net positive. That seems impossible.
It's absolutely fair to say that it is not a priority.
Yeah. It just seems impossible.
Okay. Who are some of the top teams
this year?
On that list when it comes to – I'm just wondering if they're bad teams or they're good teams.
Mixture of both. So the Colts are number one. They missed the playoffs. The Jets – or number two.
I mean, again, I think we all know why the Colts missed the playoffs, right? When you got that revolving door at quarterback all season long, that's going to be a tough row to hoe.
The Seahawks were three. Ravens, four. Bengals, five. Texans tied for six with the Commanders. Dolphins, eight. Giants, nine. Jags, 10. So in the top 10, you had one, two, three teams make the playoffs. Of teams that are in the top 10 of the rankings. Yeah. So seven of the 10 missed the playoffs.
So I think we can spin this into another conversation that people are having about the Green Bay Packers. Evan Cohen was on Wilde and Tausch yesterday, and he basically was like fed up. Maybe like Rich Bisaccia. Again, it's a theory. He says he was bored with the Packers because every year we're talking about the same thing. Them just missing out on a run. Them being okay but not great. Let's listen to Evan Cohen.
Like, I remember sitting here a year ago with you guys, and we had this exact conversation about if we're here again in the same position a year from now, that's when the hot seat conversation comes. That's when you wonder, was he worth the money? And we're doing the same damn thing over and over again with the contract extension for the coach and for Jason, the GM, like, if we're going to be critical. Like, this is just, I'm like, I don't want to say I'm bored of this because it's never the wrong thing to talk Packers and Jordan Love, but I'm bored of the fact that you guys don't have tangibly a new conversation to have because they have not given you one. And how you guys are not frustrated by that is beyond me. You guys are having the right conversations, but I don't understand how you're not bothered by this franchise that has had so many great players and quarterbacks specifically that they're not giving you anything new to talk about. For the last 3 years, it's what is Jordan Love? What is Matt LaFleur? Enough with this already.
Well, and I think to be fair, this probably fuels a lot of the frustration that our loyal listeners hear on this program when we're saying things like, should they be doing something differently, right? What's the definition of insanity? Doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. Like, there's a part of this show where we have been like, what you're doing isn't working, certainly not to the extent that you would like it to, certainly if the standard is championships, which we believe that it still is. Are the Packers stuck or, Gabe, optimistically, are they just a steady franchise that consistently is going to be in the playoffs but probably not go very far in them?
Yeah, I think if you're asking who's Jordan Love? What is Jordan Love? That's on you. You're not paying attention. Like, I don't think we need to. Are we still having that conversation of what Jordan Love is? I don't think. Are we? I thought we just talked about that yesterday. I think he's one of the better quarterbacks in this league. He's a top 10 guy. Can he be a top 10 guy? Yep. Okay. Move on to the next thing. I don't think we're still having that. Now, if you want to have that conversation about LaFleur, that's probably fair. Right?
Yeah, but Gabe, you fall into that category.
Yeah, I think LaFleur's
a good
coach.
Because I asked you flat out next year if they go 10 or 11 and 6, 7 seed lose again, you don't want to fire flipping LaFleur.
Well, no, I
want everyone in the building gone. I am so sick of spinning wheels. Yeah, that's what we do here. Spin wheels.
Chewy, you can yell until you're blue in the face. I just said I don't think that the Packers would fire him.
Oh, I thought you said you wouldn't want him.
No, I would say the Packers wouldn't fire him because I don't think they'd give him this contract extension. If he goes out and wins 11 games, I think the context matters. I don't think they would go and fire a guy who just won 11 games after they only won 9 the year previous. I don't think that's the way that policy would do it. Again, hard to make that assumption, but based on them giving him a contract extension and it, based on the reporting around it, took a day to do, didn't seem like there was much contentiousness there.
That's why I want to know
demands placed on Matt LaFleur. So based on that reporting, they would have to miss the playoffs and win like 6 games, I think, in order for him to be fired. Now, maybe if he goes 11 games, Chew, and they get bounced right away in the first round again, the seat in the level of the heat on the seat gets turned up. But if they make the playoffs again next year, I just don't think he would get fired.
That's why I wanted to know. That's why, for me, there's a huge difference between giving him a 3-year deal and a 5-year deal.
Fair.
Okay? Because if you gave him a 5-year deal, you got no balls. I'm sorry. You have none. Okay? You don't. I would go in there and say, I expect a lot from you next year, and there's one excuse I'm going to accept, and that is it. If your quarterback doesn't play for the majority of the year, that is it. I don't want to hear this garbage anymore. Figure it out. Stop with the schmoozy stuff. You know, have tough conversations. Someone's not performing like Rich Bisaccia. Hey, great guy, nice guy. You underperformed. You're the highest guy in the league. You should be fired. Okay? Sorry. The money has a lot to do with it. It represents how good we believe you are. You know? I mean, let me ask you this. The Dolphins cut Tariq Hill in their D-end. Why is our guy still there?
Because Wizard of Oz, because Jeff Hafley went in there and he was like, these are the guys I can win with. These are the guys I can't win with, right? They had a sweeping change in leadership. Packers haven't had that,
no.
Right? Sometimes it takes that change in leadership in order to go in and make those changes in personnel. Because again, if Goody is there, Goody is going to do everything he can to get those guys to perform as proof of concept, as a validation of his decision in the first place, right?
Yeah.
The guys that Goody picks are going to get every opportunity to prove him right. And that probably explains the difference between what you're seeing happening in Miami right now and what has happened in Green Bay, or what hasn't happened in Green Bay. A great question here. Have the Packers plateaued into predictability?
We'll give them one more year.
For me, it's hard to escape the feeling that we had when they were up by so much before the injuries in Denver.
I agree.
They were up by 9, and if you were watching that game, I guarantee you're thinking, look out, this team's starting to find its stride. Then the interception happens, Zach Tom goes down, Micah Parsons goes down, and they just never recovered. And if you want to question their toughness about not being able to overcome some of those injuries, like from a mental standpoint as a team, probably fair, because you got to move on, right? You got to be able to still go out there and close out games,
but
especially when you have leads.
And I know that Rashawn Gary catches a lot of heat here on this program, but when Micah Parsons went down, the general thought was, hey, here's an opportunity, man. Here's an opportunity. It's not ideal. We don't love that we lost the best defensive player, but you got a shot to show everybody that you are not what they say you are. Go out, make plays, make a difference, and make us feel better about Micah Parsons not being out there, and that didn't happen.
Yeah.
But when you – I mean, I get it on offense because I just said Jordan Love, if something happened to him. I get it there. One player going down on the defense shouldn't be catastrophic and then just absolutely tank, which they did. The defense absolutely tanked at the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
They sucked against the Bears. They sucked against the Ravens. You know, it shouldn't happen.
Yeah, but Micah's such a difference maker, man. Like, the reason why you pay Micah what you pay him is because he can have that impact. Like, quarterbacks get paid all that money, too, because they're supposed to make your offensive line look better. Your wide receivers look better. Micah makes the team look better when he's out there. He makes the rest of the defensive line look better. He makes the cornerbacks look better because, I mean, he finished the year third in pressures despite missing the last four games. You know, like he was putting up numbers similar to the guy who set the sack record and was the defensive player of the year going away, and he missed the last four games because of the torn ACL because that's how much of a difference maker he was. And that's why you pay him that money. Now, do you have to be better than they were? Absolutely. But he does have that quarterback effect on the defense. I won't go as far to say it's the same, but it's as close as you can get on the defensive side of the football.
Yeah, I just don't know. Because I look when Reggie went down that year.
You guys just had a lot better players.
I know,
players.
But whatever.
You guys
our defense didn't tank.
Well, yeah, but then Reggie's hamstring was healed by God and he came back.
He still wasn't himself.
But you guys still had another Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
You had a lot of veterans across that defensive line. Linebacking core was really solid.
Yeah.
That you guys were, again, we went through this. You guys were the fifth best team in the Super Bowl era.
Yeah.
Right? You guys had a lot more pieces than this defense does.
I asked a question, and I wonder if it scares people a little bit to say maybe what they're thinking, right? Say the quiet part out loud. But it does feel like right now the Packers have plateaued. Whether you want to add the caveat of into predictability or not, there is this idea of seven seed early exit in the playoffs. Like, and again, I know I have been the one banging the drum, championing the explanation that the injuries played a huge role in this team falling short. And I will continue to claim that. I do think that if Micah Parsons is on the field, I do think that if Zach Tom is on the field, I do think that if Tucker Kraft is on the field, you see a different result from this team. That being said, there seem to be a lot of cracks in the foundation. You know, and the Rich Bisaccia thing today, guys, for whatever reason, is sort of amplifying those cracks.
Yeah, those three players you named, though, Jen, I guess that's just why I'm not going to say I think they've plateaued. Like, those three are probably going to be Pro Bowlers next year, assuming they're healthy, if not in contention for All-Pro.
ACLs, two ACLs?
Again, assuming they're healthy. Again, guys, it's more often than not, Chew, guys come back from ACLs. Now, some don't. Obviously, we saw that with Bakhtiari. He had a lot more stuff with his knees, but I feel in 2026, more guys come back from ACLs
as good. That they don't come back. I'm just saying Micah Parsons, his first game back, is not going to be cut on a dime like he was this past year as explosive. I am not banking on that at all. I'm just saying.
I think he's still going to go out there and be one of the best
pass
rushers
in the NFL. Oh, I think he's a Pro Bowler, but I think, you know, you don't have to wait as long as you did back in my day for an ACL. But still, it's a process.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a process. I mean, look at Christian Watson. And it's tougher on big-bodied guys, obviously. Mm-hmm. I mean, Christian Watson, he finished strong. But he had the ramp up to that.
I mean, he didn't really, though. I mean, I think his best game might have been that Steelers game, his first game back.
Was it?
Yeah. I mean, he played really well. And again, I think they probably held him out maybe just a hair longer, too. Just to kind of make sure. But again, he's also not the quick twitch guy.
But aren't you doing the same thing we do every year? Oh, this is a Super Bowl team. And then we get there and it falls apart. Ooh, this is a Super Bowl team. You get there and it falls apart.
Yeah, I mean,
we've been saying the same thing the last 2 years.
Sure, but if I guess I just look at those three, and I want to see what happens if those three are healthy at the end of the year, too. And I want to see what happens if those three, in particular, because they're going to have injuries. They're going to. But if they avoid the big-time injuries, I just want to see what happens before I go, yep, they're stagnant, they're stale. Because those three guys are just so important.
I do want to add one other layer to this, not to be argumentative, but if we believe that those three players who we've referenced were the difference between this team being out like they were in the first round and potentially being in the NFC Championship game or beyond, then doesn't Goody deserve some credit for acquiring those players, having those players, those type of difference makers on the field? Again, just for argumentative sake right now, because I want to get to some reaction here. I think the main reason special teams coach left was because he was tired of not being given any quality players to work with. This from Steve in New Berlin. Look at the teams at the top for special teams. Most of them are garbage team because everybody's fair game to use. And he means using offensive players and using defensive players. And one more comment from the YouTube comments. D. Payne says, the Packers are a mom-and-pop shop that refuses to change with the times and sticks to traditional things, even if it doesn't bring great results. 800-990-3776. Rich Bisaccia stepping down as special teams coordinator. I know a lot of people very excited about that this morning, as special teams has underperformed, at the very least, over the last 4 years. But what does that mean going forward? We'll continue talking about that this morning on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Guys, I'm telling you, if you're getting ready to propose, the Jewelry Center, the place to go for that ring. It's the go-to spot for diamond engagement rings in Milwaukee for a reason. It's what I did. And that reason that I think separates the Jewelry Center, it's that great team that they've got. Whether you're going to Brookfield, Greenfield, Burlington, or Mequon, they're going to always point you in the right direction. Whether you have an idea, whether you don't have an idea, go to our Pinterest page, see if there's anything there that you can bring in, and the helpful team at the Jewelry Center is going to make sure that that dream ring becomes a reality. Whether it's a naturally mined diamond, a lab-grown diamond, whatever you're looking for, the Jewelry Center has it. So check out the inventory. Again, stop in Greenfield, Brookfield, Burlington, now in Mequon, or shop online, shoptjc.com.
More Jen, Gabe, and Chewy coming up on 94.5 ESPN.
I love how I keep flipping my show sheet over and over and over again, hoping that there's something else on there that isn't Giannis Antetokounmpo related. Nope, sure isn't. I guess we're doing the Giannis Antetokounmpo thing then, huh? Here we go. So let's just bypass, because I believe we addressed on Monday the Giannis with Malika Andrews conversation, right? Mm-hmm. We talked about that. I want to win a championship with the Milwaukee Bucks, but if that's not on the table, maybe I got to pivot because I really want to win. Obviously setting a championship standard, also explaining where he's coming from. I know that there are some fans out there, not all, but some who still struggle to hear that caveat. But I think Giannis has been pretty transparent with regards to what is important to him. So let's go to this next level of it, because in a non-shocking development, ESPN reacted to the Malika Andrews, Giannis Antetokounmpo conversation. And I believe it was Danny Green who was on the set. Will, do you have what Danny Green had to say about how he sees this thing rolling forward?
It's very calculated what he's saying. He knows what he's saying, but it, like Bobby said, Mr. Marks, it's day-to-day, week-to-week, month-to-month with him in Milwaukee, and they don't want to trade him. I wouldn't want to trade him either. So
he's the franchise. He's the business.
If you want to keep him, you got to go out in the market and find somebody that can keep him there. If I'm the Milwaukee Bucks, I'm monitoring what the Clippers are doing with the Kawhi situation. If you can get a player like Kawhi or something similar to that, that can keep Giannis home and then also build around that group to make it a contention in the East.
I can't agree with him more. If you can keep Giannis, you keep Giannis. But if they do have to come to a split, hey, job well done. Nobody's hanging their head over it. Y'all won. Y'all did what y'all was supposed to do. If Giannis got to get out of here and see some bright lights or get some better weather, hey, by all means.
Who is that talking second game?
Iman
That's
Shumpert.
That's what I thought. I thought it was Iman. Your reaction to Kawhi in Milwaukee, a suggestion to keep Giannis in Milwaukee.
Yeah, look, it's not the ideal solution, right? Because the Bucks have actively wanted to get younger. Part of the reason why they moved on from the core that won the championship in 2021. But he's going to be an expiring contract next year. And the Clippers have been a team. They obviously just traded away James Harden. Maybe they decide to hit the reset button. Who knows what happens with the investigation into, you know, inappropriate money being funneled towards towards Kawhi, and if the Clippers ultimately get punished for that. But I think you got to keep an eye on it, because I don't know who else you would be able to get that would be at the level of Kawhi Leonard that you could pair with Giannis, and Giannis could go, oh yeah, that would make sense. And look, Kawhi would be somebody who doesn't need the ball all the time that could work, and I think would work, because he still has, I mean, he leads the league this year in steals, so he still has his defensive prowess despite being a little bit older. Again, you worry about the injury history, certainly, and is he going to be healthy? It's a question you're going to have to ask, but if you're looking to pair him next to a superstar, it might be the one that could be available that you could pull something off for.
How do you get him? Trade for him?
Yep.
What assets do they have to get Kawhi?
Well, again, if Kawhi asks out, you might be able to buy low, because the Clippers decide, hey, we don't want him to walk away for nothing. You'll have more access to more of your draft picks too this summer, so you get a couple more that you can trade. So it's not going to take 3 or 4 first-round picks to get Kawhi Leonard on an expiring deal.
And then how many other teams would want Kawhi?
Yeah, I mean, you'd have to go into a bidding war for it, certainly. But I don't know. I mean, it certainly would be on the list, and John Horst has been creative. I think it's something that you have to look into if you're the Bucks and you want to get another superstar to pair next to Giannis.
How old is Kawhi?
He is 34, so he'll be 35 next season.
So Dame-ish.
Yeah, even older. Yeah, I guess in the
same.
When
they got Dame.
Yeah.
I'm saying when they got Dame.
Yeah, similar, yeah.
Yeah.
But again, he's somebody who's still shooting the ball incredibly efficiently. He's a better shooter than he probably gets credit for. He's a guy who's shot over 40% the last handful of years from three, and he shoots 50% overall from the field, and his scoring's even up this year compared to years past. So I think it would be something that would make a ton of sense if they could pull it off, which, true, you had a lot of questions, and those are all fair about, okay, how do you pull that off?
No, I know, but you talk about consistency, playing together for a while. There's no, right?
Oh, yeah.
There's no quick cure.
No.
So it still would take a little time with mm-hmm. a 35-year-old guy.
Yeah, but I mean, we're talking about Hail Marys here, Chu, right? Like,
yeah.
you're going to be just kind of dropping back and chucking it to the end zone to try to keep Giannis here.
Okay.
But I think that would be something that Giannis would be interested in. Get another superstar, good defensive player. I think it's one that makes some sense for the Bucks. I think it would be intriguing to Giannis.
So you think financially that's a possibility?
Yes. Uh-huh. I've looked at it this morning. You could trade, and again, they could do more. But Miles Turner and Kuzma, their contracts work. You could trade those two, obviously, other draft picks. I mean, I don't know if they would want to give up. I don't know if the Clippers would want that, right? I don't know what they would necessarily want in return, but it would be financially feasible for the Bucks to trade away some of the guys that they have, throw some picks in there, and financially make the deal work.
I guess I have a little bit of PTSD from the Dame Lillard situation, mm-hmm. which again was a freak accident, but also it was definitely an all-in move by the Milwaukee Bucks. Leonard has a lengthy injury history, as you mentioned. I think I would be a little bit hesitant to, again, hitch my wagon to somebody who has been as oft injured as he has been, and hoping that he would stay healthy. As we have discussed, health incredibly important to a long and successful run in the NBA. It feels pipe dreamish.
It does a little.
But again, like, I just don't know who else you're convincing to come here.
And you don't know if Kawhi wants to come. I mean, he's
in LA. That too. He is a prickly fella.
Yes.
What is it with us and the prickly / complicated / you know, what is it? What is it about these guys, huh?
But I mean, yeah, but I mean, these are the types of things, because it's, I don't think you're going to be able to go out there and get a young star, right? Like somebody who's in their late 20s, early 30s. The reason why Kawhi could potentially make sense is because he's a little bit older, he's going to be on an expiring deal, and you might be able to buy low given limited resources the Bucks have.
800-990-3776. Would you be in on Milwaukee acquiring Kawhi Leonard? Danny Green suggested it on NBA Today, saying that maybe this would be a move that would incentivize Giannis to stay in Milwaukee, which, again, I think we all can agree is the number one priority right now for the Milwaukee Bucks organization. Would you be in on acquiring Kawhi Leonard this offseason, right? It's unlikely to happen the remainder of this season. It would be an offseason move.
Yeah. So he's not going to get bought out. He's got Kawhi's got this year, next year at $50 million bucks each year. left on his contract. So this would be an off-season move of keeping an eye on what's happening in the Clippers. Maybe Kawhi would be eligible for an extension, so maybe he decides, hey, I want to stay in L.A., I want to sign the extension, which is why Danny Green said, hey, keep an eye on that. And if that dude becomes available, that's one the Bucks should be monitoring and potentially aggressive going after.
Reaction rolling in on the YouTube stream. Kawhi is great, but not at 35. And once he's not happy, he gets quote unquote hurt. User, that's a random username. Crazy Pills. Kawhi at 35 and Giannis at 32, and both get injured a lot. You did appropriately name it a Hail Mary, though, so they appreciate that candor from you. Don't do it, because once you do, you'll have to give him the Jimmy Butler extension, especially for his age. That from D-Pain 3646.
Yeah, and look, because he's somebody that hasn't been, you know, because of the injury stuff, really an all-NBA type guy, like the latest contract wasn't like this big supermax that Giannis is also getting. It's not that. Again, it's still a lot of money, but it's not, oh, we've got two Supermax guys next to each other. That's not the type of extension. Now, you would have to give them a pretty good extension, certainly, but desperate times, desperate measures. I think that's the way the Bucks are going to have to look at this thing.
Supper Club Mark weighing in saying, you're wasting your breath. Leonard is not coming to Milwaukee. Just make Ham the head coach and the Bucks will be fine. He made great decisions the other day when they beat the Thunder. 800-990-3776. We're putting it on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Infinity Exteriors poll as well. Would you be in on the Bucks obtaining Kawhi Leonard this offseason? Don't forget, it is a Wendorf Wednesday here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. And I want to tell you guys about my friends over at Geis. For 70 years, Geis has been the trusted garage door authority in Wisconsin. Don't let a busted garage door get you down. Just call my friends at Geis today. With brands like CHI and LiftMaster, they have doors for every budget, and they'll even build you a custom design to meet your exact needs if that's what you want. Don't think twice. Call Geis. GeisDoors.com. That's GEISDoors.com. GEISDoors.com.
Jen, Gabe, and Chewy are back after this on 94.5 ESPN.
Back here on a Wendorf Wednesday here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Can you feel it? The thrill of witnessing a walk-off grand slam, a game-winning touchdown, a buzzer-beating three. You know that feeling. And there's only one place to experience it. It's at the Pottawatomie Sportsbook. All the action in a supreme space. Dozens of sports betting kiosks, drinks, and luxury seating. Great food, a fiery atmosphere, and that monster video wall where you can take in all the action. Must be 21 years old to enter the casino. Become a legend at the Pottawatomie Sportsbook. I want to get back to this Rich Bisaccia situation, because the one thing that keeps coming back to me is how much Brian Gutekunst and Matt LaFleur and players in the locker room complimented, praised Rich Bisaccia. And one of the main words, the buzzwords that came out of those conversations was culture, that Rich Bisaccia was a good culture guy. So I can only imagine that he kind of carried himself a certain way, and then that sort of bled over to the players. There was sort of this magnetism, if you will. I think I've said that before about, what was I talking about, Saban last week or something? But just an aura, perhaps. And when you're trying to create a culture, and Chewy, you know this having been in locker rooms, it's important for guys when they walk in to know what the standard is, what the culture is, what is expected of them. And I can only assume that Rich Bisaccia was at least partially responsible for that with this group. Fair or unfair?
Fair. It just reminds me of a story, though, from college that kind of sums it up. Coughlin was the head coach. Just finished my senior year. And Gabe, you know Bull.
Your former roommate.
You know the power of Bull. Bull came
into school. He's got the heebie-jeebie power.
Yep, he came into college.
So to call him a liar?
No, he came into college highly recruited, but had injury issues and didn't play a ton, played some his senior year. So we're at our senior banquet and players get up and he's like, this guy was a hell of a linebacker, blah, blah, blah. This receiver, this guy would sell out, make plays. He was great after the catch. And then he gets to Bull and he said, Bull is a solid citizen. And that was it. And Bull was
which,
like,
which,
what the
we,
hell?
I want to say is
that's
important.
What,
Being a solid citizen is important.
Yes.
I don't know
if
it's the compliment you want from your coach and a
culture,
senior.
Gabe, culture is important.
Yes. Yep.
Culture
is
very important.
It is.
But this is what that feels like. Rich Bisaccia is a solid citizen. That's how I feel. Fair?
I wish I could have seen the look on Bull's face. He's like, wait, what?
Still tells the story today, and he's still ticked
hacked
off at Coughlin.
Yep, exactly.
40 years later, or 35 years later.
I guess my concern, Chu, is if that guy was so important to the quote-unquote culture, where is it coming from now? Because there haven't been any other real sweeping changes. Is the expectation that the new special teams coordinator is going to be somehow responsible for culture? Is Matt LaFleur needing to step up in that space to pick up the slack from what Rich Bisaccia leaves behind? Like, I am all for a compliment like that, basically saying this is a reason, not the only reason, but this is a reason why this guy is important to this organization. So then when you lose it, am I not supposed to wonder where it comes from in his absence?
I think the Packers already had culture. They've had it for the last X amount of years. They've had it since Lombardi. San Francisco has culture. Pittsburgh has culture. Green Bay has culture. Like Adam said, winning creates culture. Culture comes from the top. Comes from policy.
So again, yes. Oh, so let's do this. Let's do the thing. Because Packers don't have an owner to quote-unquote establish culture.
Mm-hmm.
So then it falls on Ed Policy, the president of the Packers. We don't know a lot about Policy. I would guess that there are players who are still getting to know Ed Policy, even though he's been with the organization. I don't want to act like he just parachuted in. So what is his vibe? What are his expectations? You know what I mean? Like, that's going to be a transition period.
Mm-hmm.
Then, again, I keep going back to, if they were heaping the praise on Bisaccia regarding his culture and the culture he brings to the organization, was it lacking from other leaders? And he was sort of the responsible for it? He was the rah-rah guy? And again, I don't know if it's rah-rah. Again, I'm speculating on a lot of this stuff. But Gabe, when you learn that somebody who was lauded as being a culture guy is now gone, do you not worry about where that's going to come from?
Not really, because to me, again, culture is just one of those things that's always hard to define, but people always want to talk about it. And it's just hard to kind of put your finger on it. And to me, when you are in a position like Rich Bisaccia, it's just more about how he carries himself and how that's perceived and then how that maybe rubs off on different guys. But I don't think that you're going into a hiring cycle going, oh, we've got to find a guy that's just going to be, that the culture is going to be his thing. He's going to grow the culture. He's going to, because I just don't think that's, to me, that's just not how it works. Culture is just kind of one of those things that you learn by watching, that you know what the expectations are, and then that kind of bleeds off.
Right, holding
to
guys
other
accountable,
people.
Right? Yeah. Again, I don't want to be the person who's doing this, but I will right now. If holding guys accountable is a big part of culture, and again, these are sort of ambiguous explanations.
Correct.
Have we seen guys being held accountable? We talk about Rashawn Gary loafing. We have talked about Keyshawn Nixon running his mouth and getting some of those penalties that we think are totally egregious. We obviously talked about Jaire Alexander when he was here. Does it feel like there's an accountability issue at times with the organization?
Well, so what's interesting there is you just named three guys on the defensive side of the football. They got a new defensive coordinator. Right? I mean, if that is an issue, maybe Jeff Hafley wasn't also holding people accountable. That's entirely possible, right? I mean, as much as we love Haf, and obviously the Dolphins do too, but it's interesting to me that the three people that you named were on the defensive side of the football. Of, okay, maybe they're not being held accountable. Okay, maybe that was
Let's
a Hafley
go back.
Thing.
I'll give you another culture example, Chu. People were really hacked off when Jordan Love took an egregious hit and the offensive line didn't walk over there and get in the face of the defense, right?
Yeah, but
is that culture?
Sure. Yeah, but you know who would have got in his face?
Elton.
A guy they disrespected. In my eyes, a guy they disrespected. Because Elton would have been in guys' mustaches, you know?
Without a doubt.
To me, special teams is a young man's game because you're coaching majority of young guys.
Yeah, guys who are trying to grab a spot on the roster, right?
Yeah,
show that they have value.
And I was special teams my first 2.5 years. I was special teams, and I had Nolan Cromwell, who Nolan was probably early 30s. And then I had Johnny Holland, who I played with. I played with Johnny Holland. So Johnny was probably, you know, early 30s too. I just think it's a young man's game. You have to have a ton of energy. You are running down with the guys on kickoff or kickoff return. You're in the mix. It's kind of, it's a weird, it's a different kind of coaching. The special teams coaches, I think, are your most animated coaches, and they have to be. Because you're dealing with so many different guys in and out. You're not coaching the same tight end or the same three tight ends throughout the year. Guys get hurt. They get cut. You know, it's moving. It's flowing. And 65, I don't know if you have the energy to do it. I'm sorry. And that might have been the reason for the decline.
I guess first and foremost, how important do you think culture is to overall team success? Because there are some arguments that culture is the glue. Culture is the thing that has everybody pulling the boat in the same direction, rowing the boat in the same direction. Culture is accountability. Culture is knowing what is expected of you and then being having your feet held to the fire to make that happen.
But you know what else culture is, Jen? It's that list that the NFL doesn't want out there.
Yeah.
Right? That's culture too. You know? Oh, the food sucks here. Well, they don't care. You know, the weight room's got... You know, these are all important things, and they all... It's all about winning. It's all about winning. Because when I... Like I said, when I first came to the Packers, you kind of sit there and go, I don't understand why they sucked in the 70s and in the 80s, you know? I got to go through two practices and wear the same jock and wear the same nasty gray T-shirt for two days? Training camp 2-a-days? I'm like, that's culture.
Yeah, well, it's cheap culture.
Yes.
Frugal culture.
I also think that a lot of it maybe just needs to fall more on the players. Because I having this conversation, Shu, I think back to the story you tell frequently of when Frank got upset that Bob McGinn had wrote an article about how he had stunk mentioned in his article that he stunk.
Accountability.
And you went up and went, Frank, you sucked. Just admit it. And yeah. I'm willing to bet that that probably meant more to Frank coming from you than if you would have heard it from the offensive line coach. I don't know who it was at that time. But like hearing it from you, I think it probably hit him a little bit more. And the fact that you were comfortable enough to say that to Frank because you knew that Frank was going to respect what you said, like that's...
Gabe, Frank's a Richard. Okay, he really is. The only one that
he's your boy,
appreciated
though. He's
the only
boy.
One that appreciated that conversation was Bob McGinn. And that's it.
Well, and us, because you've gotten so much run out of it over the last 6 years.
But
so.
Frank is an outstanding citizen.
He is a solid citizen.
We've enjoyed having Professional Construction Inc. help us with our home projects. As you might know, my husband and I are not the most handy. So when we have something that is, you know, too much for us, we call our friends at PCI because they are the pros in remodeling projects, home additions, and even building a new home. Brand new, PCI is now offering a virtual interior design program. Maybe not ready for a full construction project, but if you're ready to refresh that outdated room, they can give you stunning photorealistic renderings, a mood board, and a curated shopping list all delivered directly to you. Learn more at professionalconstructioninc.com. It's professionalconstructioninc.com.
Jen, Gabe, and Chewy continues next on 94.5 ESPN.
A weekly pulse on the Milwaukee Bucks, straight from a fan favorite and Bucks legend. Tune into Hear District with Marcus Johnson, a Bucks Plus audio production. Marcus and his son Chris, a 1995 UCLA hoops champ himself, talk about everything happening in the Bucks world and are joined by some of the biggest names in basketball. Plus, they'll answer some of your questions too. Stay on the beat of the Bucks. Find Hear District now, bucks.com/plus, the Bucks app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Reaction continues to roll in as we discuss Rich Bisaccia stepping down as special teams coordinator for the Green Bay Packers. Josh weighing in saying the quiet part is the head coach and quarterback need to set the culture. Meanwhile, Chris says, so the culture is a lack of accountability across the board. And then I would assume some of this could be attributed to not having a Kenny Clark or a guy or two over 30 or whoever has been around. That from Tyler, all of that on the YouTube stream. You can always stream our show every single day on the ESPN Wisconsin YouTube stream. I think all of those things are fair, Chu.
They are, but I mean, if you look to Micah Parsons, he's fired some shots across Rashawn Gary's bow, and mm-hmm. that did nothing, right?
Yeah,
his brother helped out too. Micah Parsons' brother. So, I mean, that's up to the coaching staff. If a player on the same line can't get to a guy, that's got to come from somewhere higher. And obviously, I agree, there are accountability issues.
But I mean, some guys just don't listen to you.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter who it comes from.
Yeah, no, you're right.
Doesn't
matter.
That's
why the vetting process has to be so important.
Well, and again, I just come back to the way you talk about like a guy like Ed West. The way I've heard Tausch talk about veterans that helped him out.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big part of the culture too, because, and again, it's with any team. The older guys that have been there for a while pass it down to the younger guys. And then when they're the older guys, they pass it down to the young guys.
But there are no older guys.
That's what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
Who is more at fault for the Packers' special teams troubles? 69% of people.
Nice.
The Packers' system, 31% of people. Rich Bisaccia. You know Wildy and Tausch will be talking about this right now on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee.